Thank you, Sue. So thank you and good morning, all committee members. As Sue mentioned, we're now moving to agenda paper 2. So this paper analyzes comments on the tentative agenda decision about how an entity applying IAS 12 accounts for deferred taxes when the recovery of the carrying amounts of an asset gives rise to multiple tax consequences. The committee received 9 comment letters. 8 respondents agree with the committee's decision not to add the matter to its standard setting agenda for the reasons set out in the agenda decision, and 1 respondent disagrees. Paragraphs 12 to 33 of the paper includes our analysis of the respondents' comments. Based on our analysis, we continue to agree with the committee's conclusion that the requirements in IAS 12 provide an adequate basis for an entity to account for deferred tax in the fact pattern described in the submission. In that fact pattern, the entity identifies temporary differences in a manner that reflects the distinct tax consequences from recovering the carrying amounts of the asset. Therefore, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision as originally published. I'll now ask whether you agree with this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Gustavo. You froze a little bit in the middle. I don't know if that was just me or whether that was general, but I think we can probably still go ahead. Who would like to talk about agenda paper 2? One shy?
So it's Brian. If nobody else wants to speak, I would like to chip in, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Well, thank you and hello, everyone. People might remember that I did not support this agenda decision in the previous meeting. Having said that, I can recall that the agenda decision was broadly supported and there were very few, perhaps only one, seriously dissenting comment letter. So I just wanted to make 2 comments specifically about the wording of the agenda decision. So my first comment is, well, perhaps I should begin with a compliment to Gustavo, because I think the agenda decision precisely identifies the point at issue in this fact pattern. And the part of the agenda decision that completely skewers the issue beyond doubt is underneath the heading applying the fundamental principle to the fact pattern. And I think the agenda decision really starts to mean business with the sentence beginning, the committee also observed that the recovery of the assets carrying amount gives rise to 2 distinct tax consequences. I think that is absolutely the core point here. The text before that about the tax base not being immediately apparent, I continue to struggle with. When I look at this fact pattern, I think the tax base is 100. I think the amount that gets deducted is 100. Now, people might agree or they might disagree with that, but I do find that discussion about the tax base not being immediately apparent, I find it honestly, it's a distraction. I think it's not necessary to the logic of what follows, and it just means it takes you longer to get to the key point in the agenda decision, which is that recovery of the assets carrying amount gives rise to 2 distinct tax consequences. So without wanting to change the conclusion of the agenda decision, I would much prefer just to drop the language about the tax base not being immediately apparent. Depending on how you feel, it might just say the tax base is 100 and the committee observed, or if that was too strong a statement, perhaps you could just say that the amount of the tax deduction is 100 and the committee observed. So that was my first point. I'm not intended to change the conclusion of the agenda decision, it's just to get you to the key point faster without this distracting point that I think we don't quite see eye to eye on. And my second observation just relates to the wording of the conclusion. So the agenda decision picks up this idea that you have a temporary difference that goes one way, you have another temporary difference, And the conclusion purely references the recognition and measurement aspects of the question, having floated the idea that there are two temporary differences. I think it would also be helpful to reference presentation in the concluding section. I suspect that the presentation outcome might vary on a case-by-case basis, but I would expect somebody to go through the process of considering whether the deferred tax amounts arising would qualify for offset. So without prejudice to the conclusion of the decision, which I understand is widely supported, I'd like to propose for consideration those two changes to the wording.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Bruce? Bruce, did you want to comment?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that. I've had to dial in separately. The comment I'm going to make is the same as effectively supporting what Brian said. It's the same comment I made the last time we discussed it, and that is that I agree with the agenda decision, but my concern is still around that word apparent. And the reason I say that is I think that I still believe the tax base is apparent, much like Brian does, but I feel that the accounting we've proposed follows on from that. So to me, the conclusion is followed on the basis that we can see a tax base, and that's why I think that we can do it. So as much as, I support the agenda decision and we'll probably support it in its current form, I think it's better representation of what our view is to not have that word apparent in there.
So would your suggestion, Bruce, be that under the heading in the tentative agenda decision, applying the fundamental principle to the fact pattern, that we wouldn't have that first sentence, that it would go directly into the recovery point?
Getting there. Which page, sorry?
Page 14 of the paper.
14.
Under the heading that says applying the fundamental principle, you wouldn't have that first sentence. You'd go straight to observing the recovery has two distinct tax consequences. Yeah,
that's exactly what I would do. That's exactly what I do. As I said, I just don't think that first sentence works.
Okay. I keep muting myself and then talking, which isn't good. I'll see if anybody else on the committee wants to speak, and then I'll hand it over maybe to Gustavo to respond to that suggestion. Others? Oh, sorry, Tom?
Yes, please. We discussed this agenda decision in Committee 1 of IOSCAL. And as some members have the same concern as expressed before by Brian and Bruce, and that's about the word apparent, we believe that it is better to drop it, as suggested by Bruce.
Okay, thank you. Carsten?
Yeah, I don't have too much to say. I agree with the staff analysis. I think they've done an excellent job. And I agree with the conclusions. So in terms of the wording, I would be quite relaxed of either keeping it or removing it. I don't think it makes too much of a difference, so I'm quite relaxed either way.
Okay, thank you, Carsten. Bertrand?
Yeah. Sorry, I need to unmute my macro. Same as Carsten, I agree with the staff analysis and the staff conclusion. I was happy with the proposed wording for the agenda decision, but I would be happy to follow Bruce's suggestion on removing the first sentence that deals with apparent. But for the rest, I'm very happy with the job that has been made by the staff.
Thank you. Guy.
Thanks, Sue. I was similarly quite comfortable with the agenda decision as has been drafted in the analysis of the comment letters in the paper. So my reaction was to the wording suggestion is I'm fine with the words in the agenda decision. You know, if that sentence were to be removed without changing the conclusion, it strikes me there may be some further tweaks to the agenda decision that would be required given the setup in the section above the section where the proposed deletion is being discussed. You know, tees up the first part of paragraph 10 of IS 12, and so I'm not sure how it would necessarily flow if we delete the sentence under the first sentence under applying the fundamental principle. It strikes me there need to be some amendment to the section immediately above that. I personally don't think that change is necessary, but happy to consider it if we think about how to similarly amend the section prior.
Thanks, Guy. Young Su?
Yes, my opinion is the same as Guy's. I also want to let the sentence stay in the agenda decision. The reason why we apply the fundamental principle is because the situation is not as clear. I mean, that is why we have to put the word apparent in the agenda decision. In that way, we can make our, you know, the logic stronger. So I just support the agenda decision as it is. And I agree with the staff analysis conclusion, and their analysis was very logical. I really liked it. That's all.
Thank you, Young Su. This is very dangerous, having the chair remote and also not an IS 12 person. Jens wants to come in, but I was going to ask Gustavo something. I'm trying to find you. Yes, there you are, so I can look at you as I speak to you. So a couple of people have talked about this sort of observation about being not immediately apparent, and also the link to the drafting that we've got in the preceding paragraph, which talks about paragraph 10 of IAS 12. It seems to me that that paragraph is saying that if you're in this sort of difficult situation, it's helpful to consider the fundamental principle, but it doesn't mean that that fundamental principle only exists in that situation, I would have thought. So is one possibility, thankfully you're nodding, which just gives me confidence, is one possibility if people wanted to follow the sort of suggestions that's been raised by Brian and others, to take out the reference to paragraph 10 at the beginning of that preceding paragraph, still reference the fundamental principle in IAS 12, because that's still a thing, even if you don't have the immediately apparent link, and then take the first sentence out of that following paragraph. So you'd have, under the heading, the fundamental principle in IAS 12, you'd still talk about what that fundamental principle is, without quoting paragraph 10 specifically, and then move into the next paragraph under applying the fundamental principle to go straight into the second sentence. Is that a possibility from your perspective?
Yeah, I think that would be a possibility. I think we still kind of agree with what we had in the paper, and we would keep the drafting as it is. But I wouldn't oppose if you were to make that change.
Thank you. Because it just strikes me that 10 says it's helpful. It's not saying that's the only case where you use it. Jens, did you want to come in?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Sue. I agree with the agenda decision as drafted. I don't think that the reference to paragraph 10 is harmful. So I propose to keep it. And as Guy proposes, if we wouldn't keep it, then we need to make other changes. So I'm fine with the agenda decision as drafted. And my proposal would be to keep the reference to 10, as it's not harmful for the understanding and for the agenda decision.
Okay. I can't see anybody else who has indicated they want to comment. I'm talking slowly in case somebody wants to put their hand up or speak, but they're not, so that's good. Okay, in that case, I'd propose that we could call the vote two ways, but I'll call the vote first based on the agenda decision as it's drafted, as attached in the paper. So I'll tell you what your other choice is. So if you don't vote for the first, for the agenda decision as drafted, my alternative proposal would be to modify the agenda decision so that under that first, the heading at the bottom of page 13, the fundamental principle in IES 12, we'd take out the reference to paragraph 10 and change that paragraph to talk about the fundamental principle in IES 12, still quoting what that principle is, but without the link to paragraph 10. And then in the next paragraph, which is headed applying the fundamental principle to the fact pattern, we would remove the first sentence and go straight into the committee observed that the recovery of blah, blah, blah has two distinct tax consequences. So that would be my... So the first would be voting for it as drafted, and the second would be voting for it with that modification. But actually first, Gustavo, did you want to comment on the presentation point that Brian had raised?
We can comment. I think from our perspective, the question was more about the recognition and measurement. And I think to answer the question on the submission, we could stop there, and we can see that offsetting and requirements would also apply. But I think we see that as like a second layer to what happens at the end and how you apply. How you apply the offsetting requirements with all of your other deferred taxes that you recognized. And we would also say that there's also disclosure requirements that could apply that we could potentially mention here. But having said that, I also don't feel strongly. So if there's a preference to include that, because those requirements might be particularly relevant in this situation where you cannot really offset the two deferred taxes, I would be okay with adding that as well.
Okay, Petrina, did you want to come in?
Yeah, I just wanted to maybe give another alternative on that last point, if it makes sense, because I think that there's two places in the agenda decision where we talk about accounts for deferred tax. So I think, as Gustavo said, I think the main question we thought we were answering was the recognition and measurement, in a sense. So maybe a way to help Brian's point is just on page 13, just above the heading, the fundamental principle in IS 12, we say consequently how it accounts for deferred tax. We could there reference just how it recognises and measures deferred tax. And equally, we could do the same thing to change account for to recognises and measures in the very last paragraph of the agenda decision on page 15, and then that would have a consistent flow through of just talking about recognising and measuring deferred tax throughout the agenda decision.
Okay, thank you, Petrina. Goro's on. Goro, did you want to say anything on IES 12, the agenda paper 2?
Actually, I support that the staff recommendation and the proposal to finalize the agenda decision as set out in the November tentative agenda decision. Actually, I did not follow that the discussion. So.
Okay, thank you, Gary. It's nice to have you on. Okay, so I'm going to get you to first of all to vote on, I won't deal with the accounts for point at the moment, if that's all right, Petrina, because I think it's just going to be complicated. I'll do that as a second phase. But so firstly, I'm going to ask for a show of hands, and then I'll go around the people on the phone for whose first preference would be the agenda decision as drafted and attached in agenda paper 2. Can I get a show of hands for who supports that? That's seven. Is that what you see, Petrina?
I see seven, yes.
Okay, good. All right. And then on the phone, Lisa, is your first preference the agenda decision as drafted?
No, I was going to vote for the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Brian?
I would prefer the alternative version.
Okay. Carsten, you're on the screen now. so you can't get to vote again.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and Goro we have. So is that enough? Petrina? No. Seven.
Enough.
Pardon? Sorry, I can't hear you.
Sorry, seven is not enough. Have we got Bruce's vote?
Oh, okay. It's Bruce?
Yeah, my vote's going to be for the amended one.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
So I don't have enough votes for the agenda decision as it was drafted. So given that, can I get a show of hands for... So we know on the phone that Lisa, Brian and Bruce are all supporting the reworded version. So that's... You know that already, Petrina? In terms of a show of hands, who could support the agenda decision as redrafted?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, I am seeing on screen.
Okay, so that's 11 in total. Is that right? Three on the phone?
Yes.
Yep, yes. Okay. All right, we'll go with that. All right. And then could I get a show of hands for whether you think it would be better to go with the other amendment that... Petrina had suggested, which is referring specifically to recognition and measurement of deferred tax rather than the more general term accounts for deferred tax. Could I get a show of hands on that?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I'm seeing
okay.
Seven on screen.
Okay, then on the phone, Lisa?
Yes, I'm happy with that change.
Okay, Brian?
Yes, thank you.
And Bruce?
Yeah, I'd support that.
Okay. All right, okay. So we'll switch to that. Okay. Good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you, Gustavo.